Ending poverty means listening to poor people. That's the message which members of the British development charity Progressio gave to members of the high-level panel set up by the UN to discuss new long-term goals for reducing global poverty. Progressio passed on that proposal after receiving feedback from their partners around the world about what the poorest people want and need from the new set of poverty reduction goals that will replace the existing Millennium Development Goals due to expire in 2015. Progressio's head of policy, Tim Aldred, attended a meeting with the panel members and afterwards spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges.
Well, it was a proposal that came up from our country teams around the world in places like Malawi, Zimbabwe and Somaliland, a very consistent message. And actually, the high-level panel members that we spoke to were very receptive to that, I felt. They were saying, yes, they clearly understood that if we are going to make the benefits of growth reach the poorest, then it's so important that we're listening to the very poorest, that we're understanding what issues they're facing in their daily lives. And that's the best way to agree ways to help them and increase their position in life.
And when it comes to feedback from poor communities throughout the world, what do they say they want from the next set of poverty reduction goals that will take the place of the Millennium Development Goals when they expire in 2015?
One thing that was very interesting that came back from many of the countries that we consulted was that they wanted the environment to be thought of very closely together with poverty. They were saying, look, if we've got our farms, they're very dependent on rainfall, on good quality land, on natural resources. And that was something in the first set of goals that didn't come out very strongly. So they were giving us a strong message that they'd like the panel to consider the environmental sustainability much more closely together with poverty reduction issues.
And did they come up with any other observations, perhaps surprising ones, when looked at from our perspective in the richer West?
We work with a lot of partners who work in what are sometimes called fragile states or countries which are suffering from conflict or just recovering from conflict. And often people just don't know what to do with those countries, but though we know it's where poverty is highest, our experience at Progressio is that if you invest in building up accountability and participation with poor communities, building up democracy, democratic processes, even in difficult places like Somalia or Somaliland, it really makes a difference for the long term. It really helps to make a difference over the long term. So the message from poor people and people we work with, invest in participation, invest in helping people to have a voice. It's not just about the principle that it's the right thing to do to talk to poor people. It actually helps you tackle poverty better. It actually helps make a long-term difference. So perhaps that's the message that doesn't come through that often, but it was definitely heard when in the meeting when we were with the high-level panel.
You talked there about tackling poverty better. What can we do to improve the implementation of, let's say, the replacement set of poverty reduction goals this time around? You're learning from the mistakes that were perhaps made during the time frame of the Millennium Development Goals, you know, learning from experience.
And we have to learn what went well too. What went well was that the goals are very clear. You could measure them so you could tell how you were getting on. And they have led major improvements in reductions in extreme poverty, in water and sanitation. There's a lot of success that comes from having clear goals that everybody can understand and get behind. So we'd like to continue that. One thing that didn't work out too well was that we need goals that are interim as well as maybe a longer term goal as well. So action is needed right now. So whatever long-term goals are set, it's important that there are short-term targets within them so that we can really drive progress and keep it moving right from an early stage. That's not, again, a message that we've dreamt up behind a desk. That was something that in our consultation, communities were saying very clearly to us, don't just leave this as a long-term goal. We want action right now.
Of course, implementing these goals requires funds. How are these projects projects going to be funded? We live in very cash-strapped times.
There is a challenge in financing. We are encouraged that many governments, including the British government, despite a difficult time, are still upholding their aid promises. That's something that Pope Benedict has spoken about as well. It's very important that promises that were made are upheld. There is a particular issue for middle-income countries, countries which are newly rich or richer, at least. In those countries, there will be an increasing responsibility on those nation states to move away from being aid recipients to more equitably distributing the income that they have within their own countries, whether it's through taxes or better public services, and making sure that the benefits of increased income do get down to the poorest. We are seeing that is a really important part of the jigsaw of addressing world poverty in the next couple of decades, I would suggest.
Staying on the theme of poverty, Why Poverty is actually the title of a European Broadcasting Union project this month, which sees many broadcasters and media outlets focusing on this theme. So I wanted to ask you, what in your view are the barriers that keep people poor? Why are people poor?
A key issue is a lack of voice and power. If you are not seen as electorally important to a government, then they are not necessarily going to be committed to improving your lot. That's one reason why we think it's so important to increase the level of democratic accountability and participation in with government that poor people have. That's a fundamental issue. I think another challenge that I would highlight is the need for governments to take the steps to redistribute increased levels of national income through effective taxation public service systems, especially for the newly rich countries, but also for the poorer ones too. If you can get tax systems really working well and public services working well, they can redistribute the benefits of wealth and get it out to the poorest people. We are seeing a lot of increasing inequality at the moment, and that's key challenge that all people in this sector are really thinking about hard and trying to find ways to address.
How would you evaluate the contribution made by the social teaching of the Catholic Church when it comes to setting up strategies and proposals for reducing poverty?
It's got an awful lot to say. Around the table with the high-level panel, Jessica Reyes-Cantos from the Philippines was talking about the preferential option for the poor. If we're thinking about future generations, thinking 30 years ahead, which is what we need to do when we're talking about poverty. That's a concept that's come out very much from Catholic social teaching. And also just the question of solidarity for the poor and being our neighbour, being the person just as much who's in a poor village in a remote area, just as much as it might be the person next door. So all of these things very solid in Catholic social teaching and Christian thought and concepts that are very live and real for the debate that's been happening at the high-level panel right now.